Thank you, Tiffany. My. What we need is consistent Christians, whether on the mountaintop or in the valleys, same God. Amen. I appreciate that song. That's a great message for us. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And I think that song might just go along with this a little bit. I'm going to be kind of speaking to us, believers, Christians, tonight. I'm going to talk to you about a doctrine that is somewhat hated in the modern church age. It's the doctrine that we call separation. Don't leave, we'll know why you're leaving. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in a short few verses, verse 13 down through maybe verse 16. And of course, Peter's talking about the salvations that's come to us through God's grace. And speaking to that, he says in verse 13, wherefore, referencing what he's already said, said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, talking to believers now, obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, and that's the way we all lived. Excuse the cough. I'll get it right here in a minute, maybe. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, most of you know the word conversation is more than just words. It's lifestyle. It's everything. Says, because it is written, and of course he's quoting Leviticus chapter 11, says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now here's a truth that you can follow all the way through the Bible. In the Old Testament, God believed in separating his people. Over in chapter 2 here of Peter, and some of us don't like this too much, but do you know as a Christian you're supposed to be peculiar? Right? Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, peculiar to those that don't not understand, that don't live in the same world we live in. We talked about that some this morning. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we may look a little peculiar when we're living a different lifestyle than the rest of the world. And no doubt that we will. But God has always separated his people. Remember when he brought them out of Egypt? He brought them to the Red Sea and he put a separation there, didn't he? Did he put a cloud by day and a fire by night? He kept the Pharaoh and all of his army separated as he got the people across the Red Sea. God's always been in the separating business. He's always been that way. Now, there was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Israelites, and that gave them a lot of trouble as they journeyed through the wilderness. But if you were to read over in Exodus about chapter 9, you'd be reading where Moses is going before Pharaoh, and he's asking for the people to be able to leave. Let my people go. And Pharaoh would promise and then break the promise, remember? And how that God would bring the plague. And it was an interesting thing. When the plague came, it always spared the land of Goshen, where the Jews were. Over in chapter 9 there, lightning's coming. All the hail is falling. All the crops are being destroyed. And Pharaoh says, he'll let them go. But Moses said, no, you won't. You'll change your mind again. And he did. But it's an interesting statement. It said there was no hail in the land of Goshen. God kept the separation there. God is in the separation business. He was in the separation business when he called his people out of Egypt and took them into the land of Canaan. He kept them separated from the inhabitants of Canaan. You know, the world don't like this today. Our church through the years has been talked about, gossiped about, criticized, and they'll say, well, they're different down there. We're supposed to be different down here. We belong to the Lord. There's a separation there. And that's God's plan for us. It's still a godly, biblical principle today. And separation has to do with purity, cleanliness. Ladies, don't you keep the garbage separated from the rest of the food in the kitchen? I hope you do. Right? You want to keep it pure. You know, you make a difference between the two. And so God likes it that way. I want to say this. Separation will keep purity. It'll keep purity in a marriage. You know that? When we exchange the vows here on the weddings, and boy, we've had some lately and got one coming Saturday. But you know one of the things I say in leading the vows? I say to the groom, will you keep thee only unto her so long as you live? Do you promise? That's separation. That's separation from every other woman. And that's a pledge to be separate unto who's going to be his bride here. The vows exchanged. That keeps a marriage pure. Now, you know what's happening today? The soap operas, the TV, the social media is destroying marriage because it's destroyed separation. All of a sudden, you got the comedies on TV that make a joke out of adultery. Out of people mixing it up. And the sad truth is, that's producing the divorces we have today. I never forget, many years back, there was a young couple that, I don't know if they got saved here or they just joined the church, but they were in our church for a little while, just a little while. And the young man came to me. I'm talking about a young couple, they didn't even have any children yet. And the young man came to me and said, would you come by and help me talk to my wife? Said, I believe she's gonna divorce me. I said, what in the world? So I went by there and I visited with him at home, and she sat there and he was there, and she she was literally, and he said to me right in front of us, said, she is quoting the soap opera. She'd say something, I'm going to call his name John, I don't think it was John. But she said, John, I don't want to hurt you. He said, she's quoting that off as the stomach turns. I mean, as a whatever it was, world turns. Turns my stomach. But anyway, and every now and then she'd pop up with another quote right off the soap opera. And by the way, they did get divorced. Crazy. That's what's going on. All of a sudden, sin's not so sinful, and what God says don't matter so much. And the fence of separation is torn down, and when it is, bad things happen. In a marriage, yes. And I say to you parents, in your marriage, if you need to keep your kids separate if you love them. If you're going to protect them from the evil out there, you're going to have to build fences, not tear them down. You're gonna have to have some rules that separates a little bit. You know, I know what the kids say. Well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else. Mom, everybody else is going. Everybody else is going to be there. How come I can't go? You better hold firm. If you know it's wrong, you know it's wrong. little girl come in. Her mother said, you can't go to that rally. She said, I am going to that rally. Mama, everybody else is doing it. And the mother said, what is the rally? Where are you going where everybody else is at? What is it about? Well, we're going to have signs that say, down with conformity. Do you get the point? Man following the peers, following the crowd. Everybody else is doing it. I must be able to do it. But the truth is, separation is good. I know some of you kids, you're not liking this. You say, well, you'd probably want mom or daddy to pick my husband. They might be better off doing it than you. And about 2 years into it, you'd admit that. No, I'm not asking that. I'm not asking you to be pharisaical parents, but I am asking you to be biblical. And to understand God's in the separating business. That's his plan because he loves you. And daddies, you ought to have something to say about who dates your daughter. I still remember it. I didn't like it. I was a lost teenager. Some of the first few dates I had, it was awful to have to go to the house and go in and sit down and look at the old man. But I had to do it. Because he wouldn't let me go out front and toot the horn and have the girl come running out. And you're wise if you don't do that. I remember a daddy that told me, he said, you better have my daughter home. We were going to the Orange Festival in Winter Haven. You better have my daughter home at this time. You know, that man had such a reputation that I broke the speed limit all the way home that night. I wasn't gonna cross him, I guarantee you. he made a big difference. I think about a black preacher, very famous. I believe his name is Muldridge. He was a really, really good preacher. I've heard him on tape, seen him on TV a time or two, several years back. And he was talking about boys wanting to date his daughter. And he said, home one afternoon or one night, and he said, knocked him on the door, the doorbell rang. He said, I went to the door and said, I opened the door, and there he stood with his pants below his, you know what, and hair down everywhere and slouching and slurring his speech. And he said, I opened the door and there he stood. I said, what do you want? He said, I'm here to date your daughter. He said, oh no, you're not here to date my daughter. He said, I sent him away. He said, here come the daughter running down the stairs. He said, Dad, did I hear the doorbell? He said, yeah, you did. She said, who was there? He said, nobody you want to know. I like what he said. Now, that's separation that ought to be enforced. If you love your daughter, you love your kids, building fences is the answer, not tearing them down. And you know what? That's true in marriage. Separation would help our country, wouldn't it? Wow. Right now, they're wanting to pull all the borders down when we need to be building the wall. Amen? And this is crazy. I got on it this morning, so I won't say much. But we got one of our political parties selling out to socialism like you wouldn't believe. Opening the doors, opening the borders. And it's amazing. Now, you say, well, we ought to let them all in. I feel for them, but I cannot open my house and feed them all. And neither can you. And we can't do it as an American nation and still be a nation. You can't have a nation without borders. And I want to say this. Some of you are not going to like this. Well, he said something political. I say something political anytime I feel like it. And don't care about who thinks what. Amen? But I just want to say to you, if that party has left you, you ought to leave that party. You understand what I said? Say, well, I don't want to be a Republican. Well, then be an independent. But if it's left you, quit identifying with it. Quit trying to excuse it and support it when it's selling our very nation down the river to socialism and worse. And by the way, one of their leaders just said on the news a few days ago, when the socialists won up there in New York, that's the new face of our party. Is that your face? Help yourself in Radio Land. I'm talking to you right now, too. I know how most of these folks in the building here stand because they hadn't left yet. But I can't help you out in Radio Land, amen? But true in our country, we need some separation. We need to separate from the wrong group. But here's what's happening to some in that party. Listen to me good. Did you ever do this? A man went into a restaurant, walking right out of the bright sunlight, midday, noon. He walks right out of the bright sunlight. He walks into a dimly lit restaurant, and he sits down at the table, and the waitress comes and hands him the menu. And he says, oh, I can't see it. He says, it's too dark in here. She says, well, just sit there a while, and your eyes will get used to the dark. Do you get the point? Just keep on hanging around the wrong crowd and your eyes will get used to the dark. The next thing you know, you will be accepting the dark. You wouldn't have accepted it a while back, but now you do. Now you excuse it. That not only is in politics, that's in churches. That's across in so many different areas. I used to wouldn't let that program be in my living room, but now you will. Got used to the darkness. That's what goes on. And it's true in our country, we need some separation. And the difference is in America that we know who the real God is. And we used to be more separate to him. But now we're saying just bring in all the gods and it's all equal. It's not equal. And it's bringing God's judgment on our nation as we try to pretend it is equal. We're supposed to be separate. Supposed to be separate in our country. Do you understand God was calling the Jews out of out of Egypt, out of the world, and he separated them from it. And Egypt's gods, do you know when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and God began to plague the nation, you know what he was doing? Every plague was showing up one of Egypt's gods. Every plague. For instance, they had the god of the flies, Beelzebub, the god of the flies. Do you know what God did? He gave them flies till they were sick of flies. One of their gods was the god of was the frog god. And God gave them more frogs than they ever wanted. Can you imagine old Pharaoh getting up at night, going to the restroom, and everywhere he stepped, pop, 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 with a frog? But you know what? It was interesting, and I know preachers have preached on this, but one of the interesting things was Moses asked him when he wanted him to get rid of that plague, the frogs, and Pharaoh said tomorrow. remember that. And we kind of joke about it, one more night with the frogs. Frogs in the bed, frogs in the restroom, frogs in the soup, frogs everywhere you look, pop, pop, pop as you walked across the floor, one more night with the frogs. But every one of those plagues, God was showing how powerless the false gods were. Do you know during World War II, when Douglas MacArthur met on the ship and they signed Japan signed the surrender at the end of World War II? Remember that? You've seen the picture over and over. You know what General MacArthur did? He cried back to America, send the missionaries to Japan, send the gospel to Japan. You know why he was saying that? Because Japan's God had been defeated and the Japanese were committing suicide everywhere. Because their God had been dethroned. What was his name? Hirohito or something. But you know, the emperor was their God. And all of a sudden he was shown to have no clothes. He was shown to be powerless. He was shown to be weak. He was shown that he was not a God. And soldiers and citizens were committing suicide. And I want to say, we as America with the true God need to be saying to the rest of the world, this is the real God, and turn from your false gods. And we have an opportunity today to introduce them to the Lord God Jehovah if we would. Amen. That's what General MacArthur was saying. We did send missionaries, perhaps not enough, but it was a time when their God had been proven to be no God. And we're in a day and time when Islam and other false religions, by the way, they're the ones trying to get in our wall. We're not trying to get in theirs. But here's the mistake. Our stupid liberals in the country saying, come on in with your gods. No, we ought to say, leave them behind. What we ought to say is we'd like to show you the real God. Come on in here and become an American and we welcome you. Speak our language, live our lifestyle, and know who our God is. That would be a wonderful thing. But to just come in and say, all right, go on this side of Detroit and it's all yours. On this side of this big city and we'll stay out of your way. That's not right. That's not right. No, purity comes from separation. Always comes from separation. You know, that's true in our churches. And this is where it gets down to me and you. You know, the average church, everything's welcomed. Come in with any doctrine you want. Come in with any lifestyle you want. We just need workers. Come on and serve. And if you're not teaching what we teach, if you're not using the same Bible we're using, if you're into some other kind of music, come on in. We need you. No, we don't. We need to be separate from that stuff. We have a lot of folks join our church. I've had some join our church and unjoin it real quick. Because all of a sudden they said, hey, that's not the way I'm going, but that's the way we're going. Amen. We're not going to change to go your way. We've been going God's way a long time. We know what God's way it is. We got a roadmap we're following, and we're not going to alter that for somebody just to get them to be a member. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about separation is what will keep a church pure. Keep a church pure. A church that don't stand for something, have some standards, they'll fall for anything. I read a story, it's been a long time ago now. A Baptist preacher, another state, not Florida. They were opening a brewery, a beer factory, I guess you'd call it, in that state. And they brought the pastor of the biggest Baptist church they could to come down and dedicate the brewery. Now, to me, I can't believe that. I would resign before I'd do that. I don't care if half the board was in my membership. I don't care if half the offering went to it. I got one I want to stay true to. Amen. And I'm going to separate unto him. I'm going to separate from that kind of junk. That's why I'm going to stay with the true Bible. I'm going to stay with the true doctrine. I'm going to stand for something. Amen. Somebody said, well, and they said this to me in the early years. I've had it said to me different times. I've had it said to me, well, you can't grow if you don't change. Brother Randy Smith is back there, and he remembers several years ago when we were renewing the mortgage. Thank God it's gone. Amen. Somebody said, why don't you take that sign down? I just love looking at it. That's why I haven't taken it down. That's big to me, brother. It really is. Anyway, Brother Smith will remember we were up in the room for days there meeting with them all over the big mortgage thing and the lawyers and all that business. And finally it got down to it that they wanted to interview me. Brother Smith, may you remember that. And I was in a good mood that day, so it didn't bother me too bad. But they asked me a bunch of stuff about how we were going in the future. And I said, we're going to do the same thing in the future we've done in the past. And one of the men kind of brought it up like this. He said, well, more or less he was saying all churches are moving into the emerging church. They're moving into the praise and worship. They're moving into the modern music. They're moving into the modern methods. And don't you think you'll have to do that to grow? And I said, no, we won't do that. And I said something like this to him. He said, well, everybody else is going to be doing it. I said, uh-huh, and that's going to make us special because we're not. And I want to say to you, I think that has. Now, you can go around here and you can find a lot of folks that appraise us. You can find a lot of them that will criticize us, say some bad things against us. But I tell you one thing I don't want to say, and that is that we compromised with the world. I want to stand by, and that separation will keep us pure. Keep us pure. Keep us right on our Bible. You know, that's a big thing with me, folks, because I know the devil is behind changing the Word of God. He changed it in the Garden of Eden and trapped Eve there, and he'd like to trap us. And you'd be surprised how many folks will come in and they got the wrong Bible when they come in. Now, if they keep coming, they'll either get the right Bible or they won't come. Simple as that. But a lot of them, the NIV is very popular, and they don't know peanuts about it. I call it the homosexual Bible. The NIV, International Version, New International Version. Not inspired version, we joke about in college. But on that translating committee was Virginia Mollenkott. She was a lesbian. The committee knew she was a lesbian. So when you read the NIV, you won't find the word sodomy in it. See, it's friendly to the homosexual movement and all that junk. No separation. Separation by using the right Bible. Separation by having the right music. And it gets right down to it. You and I, as God's people, people that know us, ought to know that there's a little difference in us than the average person they know. They ought to know our conversation is cleaner. They ought to know our dress is more modest. They ought to know that we go to different places. They ought to know there's some separation in our lives. That's what the scripture says. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature? Old things pass away? Peter here in the text was talking about people living according to the former lust, the things they did in the past. He said, in your ignorance is what he's saying. That's what he says here in verse 14. And he says, God has called you away from this, and God is holy, so we ought to be holy. We can't be as holy as God, but we can be holy enough other folks say they must know God. They walk a little different. They go to different places. They talk a little different. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, if we don't look any different in the world, we don't sound any different from the world is not going to see much power of God in our lives. They got to see it's made a difference in us before they're going to think it could make a difference in them. So you say, well, I don't think I have to do this. No, I'm not saying you have to be a Pharisee, but I'm saying that if there's a doubt there, give God the benefit of the doubt. There are some things that might be on the fence you're not sure of. Just fall on God's side. Just like the Lord have his way. And staying separate will help us in our churches. And boy, there's never been a bigger time or a bigger opportunity in America for a church like ours to stand out and be separate for God. Not that we don't only need to quit some things, we need to start doing some things. Most of our sins in this building tonight, including my own, is a sin of omission. We don't do what we always know to do. And it's not that we willingly do wrong, but sometimes we neglect to do right. You say amen to that, at least in your heart. Sure, we're guilty of that. But people that know us are going to see a difference. Somebody told me, I think it was Sister, I'm not sure who it was this morning. Somebody was talking to me this morning. She was somewhere, and she met somebody that went to school with me. Now I want to say something. I've lived in a glass house ever since I got here as pastor. Said, what do you mean? Because I'm in the town I graduated school. I'm in the town where I drove hot rods. I'm in the town where I shot out street lights as a kid. Playing with the police. Yeah, yeah. Thank God they didn't have cameras on them back in them days. But ever since I got here as a saved young man, as I got here since I've been called to preach, I've lived a different lifestyle. Amen. But I sure had a lot of eyes on me. Maybe not cameras, but eyes. And this lady told me, she said, I was in a store somewhere, and I met some lady, and the lady said, I went to school with Mickey Carter. Now, I want to qualify that a little bit. If everybody went to school with me that said they did, we had 3,000 in that school. People remember things that didn't happen. I'm not sure, but I don't believe that would happen. Now, I may be wrong, but here's what she said. She said he'd done a lot of mean things in school. And she said to our church member, is he still doing those things? And church member said, no. Basically said, Jesus forgave him of all that. But you know what? There ought to be a difference. Right. Not just in name, but in actions and lifestyle. Amen? Sure, there ought to be a difference. The old things are to pass away. Other things become new. I became a new creature in Christ. I should have a new power that I never had before to do right. And so separation from the old ways, from the things that are wrong, that's going to get attention. I've said this before, but say it again. I hadn't been here long preaching, and I think maybe we'd already gotten this building. And a gray-haired lady came out shaking hands with me on a Sunday morning, and she looked me right in the eye with a sternness that I remembered when she spoke. She said, I thought God would never make a preacher out of you. And you know who she was? She was the principal when I was in the sixth grade. And she's probably the only one I clearly remember paddling me real good. Honest. But I smiled at her and recognized then who she had to be. And I said, I didn't either. No, I didn't. But what happened was I got saved. And when you get saved, you're supposed to get separated. You're supposed to become a peculiar person. You're supposed to live different. Old things are supposed to pass away. And folks, if that don't happen, people have a right to doubt whether we're real or not, whether we're genuine or not. It's a testimony that's important before the Lord. Some of you young people, you go to our Christian school and you know our rules, and they pinch you and you dodge them and you cheat on them every way you can. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Those rules represent him. Amen. You young ladies that wear your skirts long enough, don't be ashamed of that. Be proud of it. And you young men that wear your pants up where they ought to be and have your hair cut like they ought to be, don't be ashamed of that. Thank God he made a difference in you. Be separated from the world. Don't worry about, so I might lose a friend. How about the big friend? Amen. How about the Lord Jesus Christ, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, huh? I'm saying to you, doctrine of separation is not appreciated today, but it's still important. It'll keep purity in the church. It'll keep purity in your salvation. Say, what do you mean? I mean, part of salvation is separation. You know, when the Lord saves us, he has to separate us from everything else we were trusting in. Separate us from it. Separate us from false religion, sure. Separate us from our good deeds and works or whatever we might have been trusting in. Separate us from a family tie or somebody we think's going to get in heaven and open the door for us. Whatever he has to separate us from, that's part of your salvation. Amen. Salvation separates you from the world. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, not one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Did he mean that? Sure he meant it. So I can't get to heaven trusting Allah and Muhammad and Buddha and all that crowd. No. I got to be one way only. I got to be separate to Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one I trust to get me into heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. There's one way. In Matthew 7, the Lord talks about a crowd that'll come before him in that day. And the Lord Jesus said, they'll come before me and they'll be saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Done all these wonderful works in thy name. And he's going to say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Not I didn't know you a while, and then you lost it. No, I never knew you. You understand that separation? Separation to one way of salvation. Separation to Jesus. You know, and there are always those that's going to try to find a back door to heaven. There's always those that's going to try to get you to compromise with them. I think about the story of the wedding in Matthew chapter 22. And you have all the wedding guests that have come in. Some have refused, and the Lord has sent the workers out, and he's gathered them all in. And then when he comes into the wedding banquet, there's one man in there without a wedding garment on. Remember? And he's cast out. You're not going to get in the back door and get by with it. You're not going to fake it and get by with it. That wedding garment goes back all the way to Isaiah 61:10, where it's talking about a robe of righteousness. That's what you get when you get Jesus. You get his robe of righteousness. Your best, all of your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. But you get a robe that he provided. And you got to have that if you're going to be at the wedding. You got to have that. You can't fake it. I've often thought about that guy, slipped in the wedding without a wedding garment, and he got caught. When I was in Bible seminary, you young folks that's in our college, we are strict. We are not the first ones to be strict, though. Where I went to school was pretty strict. And one of the rules was you could not go into chapel without your coat on. It's still Florida. It was in Florida. Still hot. You could not go into chapel without your coat on. And one day, I accidentally left my coat at home. And then it come chapel time, and I didn't have it. I thought about mugging one of the other students and getting theirs. But I didn't. I went on in and sat down. And nobody said anything. Not a professor said a word. I just sat there and felt guilty. Felt miserable. Can you imagine trying to get before the Lord with your own righteousness? How are you going to feel? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going to have to separate from everything else to be right with God when it comes to being saved. Jesus is the way. The only way. The only way. You know, it's... I'm not a Pharisee about this, but I still think when you come to the house of God, you ought to have respect for it. If you were going to visit President Trump, you'd probably wear the best you have. You would probably be as clean and as best manners you could have. Well, there's somebody greater than the president. And this church is his house. This building is the house of God. That's what the Bible calls it. So how come we can't honor God same way? I don't think you, somebody said, well, you can't, if you don't have good clothes, you can't go to church. No, that's not true. But do the best you can to respect God. That's what I'm saying. And you won't get into heaven without the right robe of righteousness, without the right coat on, so to speak. Some preachers years ago was visiting with another preacher in a pretty good sized city. And this really happened. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Preachers are human, and I guess he wanted to show off just a little bit. He had his preacher friends come, and they were talking in the office, and it got to be lunchtime. And so he decided, I'll take them all out to a very fancy restaurant. I mean, we'll put on the dog. I'll really show them something nice. So he took his friends to the restaurant. But he didn't remember that restaurant was so high mucked him up that you couldn't go in there without a coat on. And when they got to the door, the head waiter met him and he said to the preacher, well, you got your coat on, you can come in, but your friends can't. And the preacher was embarrassed. He said, I forgot about that. We can't even go in because you men left your coat. And so the preacher knew the waiter a little bit. And he said, let me talk to you a little bit. He said, all you waiters have on coats. He said, don't you have a closet back here somewhere with coats like you wear in it? He said, oh yeah, we got extra coats back in the closet. He said, how about if I slip you a couple of dollars, you could go back there and get me a couple of your coats for my friends. He said, I can do that. I didn't think of that. I can do that. So he went back there and got some coats out of the closet and put on his friends. And so he got in the front door and they came on down and they met the final guy that was going to take them to a table. And the preacher said, we all got on coats. And the waiter said, yeah, I recognize those coats. I want to tell you something. At heaven's gate, God's going to recognize one coat, the robe of righteousness which Jesus Christ provided for us. I've got it on. Have you? It's separate from all others. No other righteousness can get you in. And no other robe's been prepared except what Jesus did. Do you have it? Do you have it? That'll be the final separation. You're not going to get into heaven any other way. No back doors. Jesus is the door. He is the way. He's the truth and the life. And he paid our way. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? Are you dressed for heaven? I hope you are. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the truth of the word. We thank you, Father, that we can have your power to live a separate and clean, good testimony as your people. Even in a sin-cursed world, we can still let others see there's a difference. Even to the place, Father, that maybe they would desire to have the same blessing and power in their life. Bless the invitation tonight, I pray. Maybe somebody that said, well, I don't care. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It don't matter how I live. Oh, yes, it does, because somebody else, Father, is going to be watching them. I pray you'd bless the invitation tonight and speak to every heart. Maybe somebody needs to move a membership or come for rededication, or maybe they've been saved and never baptized, but whatever you're speaking to them about, I pray they'd say yes to you tonight and ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing. We invite you to come. Whatever God's asked you to do, you come as we sing. All to Jesus.